Have you all been out on the roads lately? I mean, it's crazy. I don't know about you, but for me, I had to go over to Orlando the other day on Friday night and just to drop a friend off, and I had to go by a bunch of malls and other things. The traffic was nuts. I mean, you know, it proves to me why I live over here and not over there. You know, it's funny because I got done and I thought to myself, 'tis the season to be crazy. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. You know, and why do we have it the way it does? I mean, think about it. You know, last week, or I guess it was the week before was Thanksgiving week. And we had Thanksgiving, a day filled with generosity, of gratitude, a day when we looked at all that had been there for us. Then immediately, almost like we were bipolar, boom, we were popped over to Black Friday, where we were all the way into consumption, scarcity, and you know, trying to get what we want. How do we do that? Why do we do that? Why is it that our attitudes, our emotions, sometimes switch us so quickly? Why do we move from one to another? Why can't we stay in that sense of thanksgiving, of generosity and gratitude, of knowing that there's an abundance? Why do we sometimes just move into those places that, let's just say, aren't healthy for us and aren't healthy for everybody around us? You know, I raise that question because here we are in the season of Advent. Advent is the first four Sundays, usually right before Christmas. It's the time when, in a sense, we don't prepare for the first coming of Christ, we prepare for the second coming of Christ. In fact, the word Advent means coming. It means coming. And it's the time when we prepare to look at ourselves in the same sense as we have Lent before we come into Easter. It's a penitential season, a season that we reflect upon ourselves of what we have been given by grace, and not so much what we do, but in a sense, more of a sense of, you know, this is what God's done for us, so how are we going to respond to that? What are we going to do? It's a sense of not expectation, but rather anticipation. You know, a lot of my life, I confuse those two words. I thought they were the exact same word almost, expectation, anticipation. You know, I think I was straightened out by some of the old, you know, Heinz ketchup commercials. But anticipation is dramatically different than expectation. Expectation is where you know something's going to happen, but you design kind of what you think it will be. Whereas anticipation is where you sort of just know something's going to happen. And you're just excited about that it's going to happen. And you don't design what it's be. You all know what it's like. I mean, how many of you have children or grandchildren where, you know, you've given them a present and they told you what they wanted and you went out and you got what they wanted. Then you delivered it to them and they looked and you said, that's not what I wanted. That's where expectation is unfulfilled because somehow the communication, anticipation doesn't have that problem. And we anticipate the advent, the coming of our Lord. The coming of our Lord. Now, will we do that or will we go into the craziness? Will we do that or will we go into, in a sense, the consumption attitude of Black Friday? What are we going to have for an attitude in these coming weeks? In this season, as we enter into the blessed season of the birth of the Nativity of Jesus Christ, what will it be? You know, as I looked at the scriptures, it was interesting because the scriptures are really, once again, those scriptures where Jesus is teaching the disciples of all the things that got to happen before, all the signs. You know, there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, you know, and people are going to be, you know, fainting for the roar of the sea and the roar of the waves. There's going to be foreboding. But then all of a sudden you see the Son of Man come riding in. There's going to be all kinds of difficult times. You know, I don't know about you, but every time I read those, I think, you know, why doesn't he put it off for a while? I wouldn't mind, you know, just staying away from that foreboding. Foreboding's not really a fun thing for me to do. But what Jesus is teaching in this scripture is not that his people, God's people, will be foreboding, that people will be foreboding. That if you really look at what's going on, you should be a person of faith that's not afraid of the things that are going on. You should be one of those that doesn't fall down, but rather stands up. Stands up. You know, I've looked throughout my life, and so often in times in my life, you know, I've seen things that have come at me, and let's put it in this world, there are things that are very frightening, aren't there? I mean, you look around the world, controversy, there's all kinds of instability that we have. We have all those things. I mean, raising a kid, you know, I used to always say to my own son as we were getting older, I said, now listen, so far you haven't done anything I haven't done, but let me tell you something right now. The consequences of the things that you need now are much greater than the consequences that when I did more than what you did years ago. So you got to be really, you know, careful. Things are tough in this world. How do you live a life where you don't have fear? How do you live a life that's not fearful? You know, fear is a funny thing. One thing I'm sure of, fear is a liar. It presents itself many times as logical. It presents itself many times as maturity. It disguises itself as actually very wise. And so when you act sometimes in response to things that are going on, in reaction to what you've seen in the signs, are you operating from fear or are you operating from faith? You know, many times I can't tell that at the time of what I'm doing. I mean, in my life, there's been many things that have come at me, and I can't tell whether I'm really acting out of fear or operating out of faith. But I usually can tell after I'm done. Because when I'm afraid and I operate out of things, once it's over with and I've got even maybe the result I want, I'm still looking over my shoulder. I still don't feel like there's a wholeness that's going on. There's no peace that's in there. It's almost like, well, I met this shoe that dropped, you know, I better be ready to meet the next shoe that drops. But when you operate from faith, you operate in a different way, don't you? You operate in a sense of knowing that, wait a second, that God somehow in the midst of things has not just, in a sense, come to intervene, but that he will carry you through to all that you're doing. I tend to learn from situations that I move through when I operate from faith, but I tend to forget the lessons I learn when I operate from fear. And you know what really comes to me? Is when I operate out of fear, usually I'm incredibly controlling, which I can be that most of the time, and also there's an edge about me. You ever meet somebody who, I know you never have an edge, none of you. I know everyone, you never have, but have you ever met somebody who has an edge about them every time you talk to them? You know, you come into them and you sort of have a conversation with them, and if you have a, it seems like a good thing, and you say something, they're correcting you every step of the way. You know, how is that? Is that what you'd call, geez, that's a wonderful time? You know, I mean, how's that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say? You know, that edge is out of fear. It's out of you trying to, or that person trying to control the situation so that you get exactly what they have, because that way they feel that they're right and that gives them security. But is that really what security and faith is? Security and faith has nothing to do with that somebody else responds to you. Security and faith has to do with you knowing the character of God, even in the worst of situations, and knowing that God is bigger, that he is more beautiful, that he is more filled with goodness than you could possibly imagine. You see, faith meets situations in life, but doesn't focus on the situations of life just to get through them. That's survival. Faith is about living where you go through the situations of life, you learn the lessons, even if they're tough lessons to learn, but you realize and you always keep in mind the goodness of God, the bigness of God, the beauty of God. You see, when Jesus talks about the foreboding and the fear, he talks about the sun and the moon and the stars and the roaring of the waves and the roaring of the seas. He says, yeah, but don't worry about it. You know, the Son of Man's going to be coming in. Focus on that. Don't focus on this. How many of us are good at that, though? You know, I can be on the greatest shopping trip of all time, have my list, I've checked it twice. I know I'm not naughty and I'm probably not really nice, but I'm on my way to shop and I'm on my way to get to that store. And by God, if there's too much parking problems, I'm a mess. If I go in and somebody looks and takes the present that I want, by God, I want that present. Here, I'll give you an extra $20 for it. How many of us do that? That's a sense of consumption. That's not a sense of generosity. Generosity is where we know God is with us. That in the coming of our Lord, we're in the already not yet. It's already here, the kingdom is, but it's not yet fully here. And we're okay with being in that suspended animation, that intermediate time of being already, but not yet here. You know, most of us think that we either got to be there or not be there. No, the problem with that is that that's not Christian faith. The Christian faith is an adventure where you're already, but you're not yet. You're with the one you're supposed to be with, but it's not yet fully come to its fruition. And that's what we celebrate during Advent. That sense of journey more fully into the living God. You know, when you do that and you're really trusting God, something happens inside yourself. You realize without a shadow of a doubt that the reason why God is coming wasn't because of your good looks, your virtue, or your good works. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the reason he's coming. It's not even dependent upon you. It's because he promised he'd come. That's his character, his goodness, his bigness, his beauty. Do you realize that God promised you, you individually, that he's going to be there for you? That he's going to be with you in every situation of your life? Because if you do realize that, then the way you handle the situations of life will be different than you did before when you didn't realize that. Do you realize that God is right there alongside you, no matter how uncomfortable you feel, no matter how much of an edge you have, no matter how difficult life seems to be, that he's right there for you and that he's going to lift you up and carry you through it? That's the good news of the gospel. And it's living out of that, that all of a sudden you have a sense of, happy, joyous, and free in the midst of the most difficult situations. You have that sense of faith where you have peace, patience, loving kindness. You see, that's to me the attitude that we're called to have as we prepare for the coming of our Lord. In fact, if we don't have that attitude, if we don't have that sense of emotion, of anticipation with that, then we're probably going to be looking at all the signs and missing the Lord coming. We won't see him because we're too reliant on ourselves. You know, it's funny, this past week, one of the things that I realized without a shadow of a doubt was that, you know what? God has never been proud of any of us. Do you know that? I mean, sometimes I think, I'm doing this thing, and by God, I've gotten this all done, and God's going to be so proud of me. Oh, he's going to be so proud of me. Do you realize that God, it never says in the scripture that God is proud of anybody. In fact, every time it talks about pride, it's seen as a negative, not as a positive. Humility is seen as the positive, not the negative. And the reason why God isn't proud of you is because if he's proud of you, then it's dependent upon your works, not upon his grace. In fact, what does he say to his own son? Like, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. I'm not proud of him, I'm just pleased with him. And pleased is so much better than proud. Because you see, when you are operating from the sense of, I've got to make him proud of me, then all of a sudden, you're missing his grace, you're missing the relationship that he has for you, and it's all dependent upon you. You know how exhausting that is? But when all of a sudden you realize he's just pleased with me for me being with him, you learn how to respond rather than perform. You learn how to not just react to situation, but turn to him first in the midst of the most difficult situations. You learn that no matter how much the circuitous route of the journey, the adventure you're on takes, that somehow he's with you in it, and really, it's already there, but you're not yet fully there. But the fullness is near. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you ask yourself, in these next 4 weeks, as you prepare for the coming of our Lord, what's the attitude I'm going to practice? Am I going to be grateful, or am I going to be resentful? Am I going to see a sense of generosity, or a sense of scarcity? Am I going to look out to try and control, or am I going to look out to try and manage? Am I going to trust, or am I going to try and manipulate? As you come to the Eucharist, know this: the grace of God is with you. It's there. You already got it. He's already saying, I'm pleased with you. Please realize I'm pleased with you. Get it. Please get it. Just be with me. Because then every way that you look at life in every situation changes. Because then and only then do you begin to have the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you look at things through faith. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.